Good morning. It's good to see everyone out on this cold and somewhat snowy morning. I saw Wilson had posted this morning, though in Kansas City it was 7 degrees, I think is what he said, so it could be worse. But it's good to see everyone here today. And if you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you've come to be with us today and hope if you have the opportunity in the future to come back and worship with us again, that you will certainly do that. We hope you feel very welcome here this morning at Veterans Parkway. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it tells us to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You may remember a few weeks ago, I preached on love one another. And I'd like to look at another one of those one another verses this morning. Here, Paul tells us to be kind to one another. You know, there's many one another passages throughout the Scriptures. And really, when you think about this idea of one another, it's all about relationships. It's about our relationships with other people. It's how we treat other people. It's how we interact with other people. And it comes in the Scriptures often talking about our brethren when it says one another, but I think it goes even beyond that as Christians and how we are going to treat one another just in general, anybody, even beyond our brethren, just the people that we come in contact with each and every day. How are we treating them? Because how we treat them will have a big impact on the influence that we can have so that God will be glorified in all that we do. There are many one another scriptures throughout the Bible. Ephesians 4, Paul reminds us to be kind to one another. This word kindness is actually used in both the Old and the New Testament. And the idea of the Hebrew word that's used in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that is translated kind, it means to treat someone courteously and appropriately. When you come to the New Testament, the Greek word that is translated kind means to be useful, helpful, or gracious towards another. So kindness is caring enough about others to treat them with gentleness and graciousness. It's what we think about when we think of kindness. How do we treat others with graciousness and gentleness? What can we do basically to encourage and to help others? And that's the idea of kindness. And if we'd all commit to putting into practice kindness in our everyday life, with all the people that we come in contact with, God could use us to make a real difference in the lives of so many people. I imagine you can think back to the many people you've met in your life. And there's probably some that stand out as being genuinely kind people. I'm guessing also you could probably think back to people in your life that you could say that were really unkind people. And I think we all have kind of a feeling probably toward the people who were kind, and it's probably much different than really the feeling we get when we talk about someone who was unkind. And we could also think about maybe the positive influence that someone who was kind to us at one point or another, or that we just saw showing kindness to others. I think we can think of the positive influence perhaps that they had on us or had on other people. But at the same time, you can think of people that maybe were unkind, and you think about how people really didn't want to listen to anything they had to say because it didn't really matter. You know, someone said the other day, I was at a training about at school, and they said that children don't care what you know until they know that you care. And I think that's a lot about this idea of being kind. When it comes to us, as we try to take the gospel to others and try to teach others and try to help others, if they see us not being kind, treating them badly, they're not going to listen to what we have to say. They don't care what we have to say until they know that we care. And a lot of that comes through just by showing kindness. The unfortunate thing is perhaps maybe you've met both kinds of people, kind and unkind, in the same place. Perhaps it's even been within the Lord's church. But as God's people, we're to be kind. It's commanded of us. It's something that God expects of us as His children. So this morning, let's let's consider three ways that we can show kindness in our everyday life, to be kind to one another. First of all, as we look at what Paul writes here in Ephesians 4, it's important for us to understand we need to be kind in the words that we say. If you go back up to verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4, and you'll notice the emphasis that Paul places on the words that we speak. He says, "There let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." So before Paul comes down here in verse 32, it says, "Be kind to one another." He's talking about the words that we say and the importance of the words that we say, and that the words that we say need to be edifying or encouraging words for other people to hear, that it may impart grace to those who hear the words that we say. Back in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, it tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's a powerful statement if you think about it. The power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words have the power to build up, and our words have the power to tear down. Our words have the power to heal, but our words also have the power to hurt. Our words are very powerful. Our words have the power to encourage, but our words also have the power to discourage. We need to remember the power of our words. As you think about the words you've spoken this past week, the tone maybe that you used in the words that you spoke this past week, can you think of anyone maybe that were hurt by the words that you spoke? Or can you think of someone who was edified or encouraged by the words that you spoke? You know, I think it's often the people close to us that maybe we hurt with our words. Maybe it's your spouse or your child, or maybe it's your mom or your dad, brother or sister. Maybe it's a friend or a co-worker. Maybe it's someone in your church family. And maybe it's not intentional. Maybe it's unintentional. But we can understand that sometimes our words fall in the wrong place, in the wrong way, and they become very hurtful to other people, and they're not kind as they should be. Kindness should come from our lips, not only in the words that we say, but as I said before, in the tone that we say it. Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, it's not what you said, it's how you said it"? It maybe wasn't exactly the words that you said, but it was the tone that you used and how you said it. You know, it's the teenager rolling his eyes as he says something. That's the idea of the tone, even, of how you say something. That can even be hurtful. Before we speak, we need to ask ourselves some questions. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it constructive? Is it necessary that I say it? You know, sometimes we say things where we'd be better off just to not say anything at all. And ultimately, is it kind? Are the words that I say, are they kind? Let's be kind in our words. Be kind to one another. Let us be kind in our deeds. Look again at verse 32 as we go back to Ephesians chapter 4 again. After being kind to one another, he says, be tenderhearted. Be tenderhearted. And that's an interesting word in the Greek as well. As I looked that up, that the Greek word that's translated tenderhearted, it literally means to have strong, healthy bowels. I thought that was interesting. And you may think, well, what does that have to do with tenderhearted? Well, as I read more on the background of that, the information, it makes it make more sense. In ancient medicine, the inward organs were considered to be the seat of emotions. So tenderhearted means to be moved with deep emotions toward one another, to be moved with compassion or sympathy toward one another is the idea of being tenderhearted. You know, today we would say, well, you see someone who's going through something really terrible or a tragedy or something, you may say, well, my heart goes out to them. That's the idea of this tenderheartedness. My heart goes out to them. or the idea of having a gut-wrenching feeling for someone because of some tragedy or some struggle that they're going through. That's the idea of this tender-heartedness that Paul is talking about here. So to be tender-hearted, it goes beyond just feeling sorry for someone and having sympathy for them and saying, you know, I really hate that they're going through this. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond just saying those things and feeling those things even to doing something, deeds, acting in a way that's going to help them during that time. It goes beyond just that sympathy, but it goes to action to help, to lighten the load of that burden or to ease the pain of someone else. Despite his busy schedule during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln often visited hospitals to visit with the wounded soldiers. And the story is told that on one occasion, Lincoln came across a young soldier near death. And he was moved with compassion toward that young soldier. And President Lincoln asked this young man, as he often did, he says, "Is there anything that I can do for you?" The young man was in such a state, he didn't even recognize that he was talking to President Lincoln. And the young man began to dictate a letter that the president set at his bedside and wrote, "My dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty, and I will never recover. Don't sorrow too much for me. May God bless you and Father. Kiss Mary and John for me." The young man was too weak to go on past that brief message to send to his mother. Lincoln signed the letter for him, and he added at the bottom, "Written for your son by Abraham Lincoln." The young man asked to see the letter so he could read it, and he was shocked to discover at the bottom that he had been talking to the president, Abraham Lincoln. He looked up and he said, "Are you really the president?" And the young man, as the young man asked him, and Lincoln said, "Yes, I am." And again asked him, "Is there anything else I could do for you?" The young man said, "Hold my hand." And so Lincoln sat there and prayed and offered words of encouragement until that young man passed on. You know, sometimes we get a lot busy and we get so wrapped up in all the things that we have to do that we can't take the time to be kind. When I think about Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War, I'm sure he had a lot on his plate. I'm sure he had a lot of things going on. But he took the time out of his busy schedule to visit the soldiers of the war. He took his time to be kind, to sit at the bedside of a soldier, to hold his hand, and to encourage him. Let us not ever get too busy and too wrapped up with things that we don't see the opportunities to be a positive influence just by doing a simple, kind deed. You know, it may take some time away from the other things that maybe we think we have to do. But in the end, the encouragement and the power of the influence that we can have on others, we shouldn't underestimate the power of simple kindness to others in their lives. You know, we often talk about random acts of kindness. Have you ever heard of that? I think schools are really promoting that among students now, telling them just random acts of kindness. Do something for someone just to help them. Just be kind. Just find something you can do that's going to brighten someone's day, that's going to bring a smile to their face. Do something kind to someone else. Here's something else I think is important for us to understand. As we look around and see the kind those that are in need, and many times we offer those deeds of kindness to others, it's important, I think, also that we don't sound the trumpet to bring attention to ourselves. That's not our purpose. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about that. And later on in Matthew chapter 23, he refers to the Pharisees again as being those who, yes, they would do good things and help and help people and things like that. But it was all about them. It wasn't about the person that they were helping. It was about bringing attention to themselves for, look what I did. And that shouldn't be our attitude either. But in Matthew 6, Jesus says in verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do your charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. I was at Starbucks a few weeks ago and sitting at the, going through the drive-thru, and didn't even notice the car in front of me, really, just sitting and waiting. And when I got to the window, he told me that the car in front of you paid for yours. You're taken care of. Here's your coffee. Have a great day. I don't know who the car was in front of me. I don't know who was driving that. I never will. And that wasn't their intention. They just wanted to do something kind, something helpful, something to brighten someone's day, something to bring a smile to someone's face. And that was the result of what happened there. They didn't sound the trumpet and say, look what I'm doing. They just did something kind to brighten someone's day. That should be our attitude. It shouldn't be about us when we do good things for other people. It should be about our willingness to brighten their day, to lighten their load, to help them out in any way that we can. So let's remember that as well, to not be like the Pharisees who wanted to promote themselves. You know, I often thought, what if the Pharisees had social media? Have you ever thought of that? What if the Pharisees had a Facebook page? What do you think would be on that? Look at what I did. Look at the charitable things I've done to help people. You know, they'd be tweeting that all the time, wouldn't they? That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to help others and to lighten their load. It's not about us. It's about helping others, and ultimately it's about glorifying God so that He will be glorified in all that we do. Following the example of Jesus, let's dedicate ourselves to going around doing one kind deed at a time and truly showing compassion for others. And then finally, I think it's important that we understand that we need to be kind in our spirit. Again, going back to Ephesians 4, verse 32, Paul says, be kind to one another, be tenderhearted. And then he says, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You may have heard this before, but the story is told of the Spanish father whose relationship fell apart with his son, and his son ran away from home. And the father searched for many months for his son with no success of finding him. In desperation, the father finally took out an ad in the newspaper, and it read this, "Dear Paco, meet me in the front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." Well, at noon Saturday, over 500 men named Paco showed up in front of the newspaper office looking for forgiveness and love from their father. I don't know if that's a true story or not, but I think it makes the point that there's a lot of people in the world that are looking for forgiveness. Because in a world of imperfect people like we all are, we are going to say things and do things, and they're going to be hurtful to people from time to time. And there's a lot of people who are just looking for forgiveness and love from us. And if we are going to have close relationships with other people, it's essential that we practice a spirit of forgiveness. Because we're going to do things from time to time that are going to be hurtful. We're going to do things from time to time that are going to need forgiveness. There's not one of us here this morning, I don't think, that probably doesn't need forgiveness. There's not one of us who hasn't said or done things somewhere along the line that has hurt someone, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And on the other side of that, I think we've all been hurt by someone, by something that maybe they said or something that they've done. And we need to offer our forgiveness to them as well. And what is interesting here in Ephesians 4, I think, is the grounds upon which we are to forgive. It's not because someone deserves forgiveness. It's not because, well, if I do this, I'll look like the bigger person if I forgive. No, we're to forgive because God has forgiven us. God forgave us. And it's not because we deserve for God to forgive us. It's not because we earned forgiveness from Him in any way. No, it's because God had compassion. It's because God is kind. And God was willing to have a forgiving spirit toward us, even though it meant sending His Son to die on the cross. One of the kindest things that we can do is to forgive one another. Have a forgiving spirit. Forgive one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. The story is told of a little old man who carried a little oil can everywhere he went. If he passed through a door that squeaked, he'd squirt the hinges so it wouldn't squeak anymore. If a gate was hard to open, he'd go and oil the latch. And as he went through life, oiling all the hard places to make it easier for those who would come after him. Well, people began to make fun of him. Some called him eccentric. Some said he was just crazy. But he didn't let that get the best of him. He just kept doing what he was doing. When he needed to refill his oil can, he'd go do it, and he'd go oil the next thing that needed the attention. He didn't let what others thought get to him. And he kept on doing what he was doing. You know, there are many lives that squeak and creak every day. They're hurting people. They're helpless people. They're hopeless people out there. If we'll just look around, we'll see all kinds of people who could use just a kind word, kind deed, a kind and forgiving spirit. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. As we go about our lives every day, let's look for opportunities to show kindness. Because through doing that, as I said before, it will have a major impact on those around us. And the influence that perhaps we can have on others in spreading the gospel. And again, it's not all about us. It's about God. That He may be glorified in all that we do. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. If you're here this morning, and your relationship with God is not what it should be, there's an opportunity you have this morning to make that right. If as a Christian you've been unfaithful to Him and need to repent of sins and come back, we invite you to do that. And as we talked about before, God is willing to forgive. He's willing to put those things behind us. And once again, we can have a renewed relationship with Him. We stand ready to pray with you this morning and to encourage you in any way that we can. If you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never been baptized, you've never become a child of God, you have the opportunity for that this morning as well. Believing in Jesus, repent of your sins, and be baptized. Come to Him. If we can help you in any way, we hope you'll come.